I was told I had a half an hour for this homily. I'm just kidding. It all started in the year 466 BC, 466 years before Christ. There was a conflict, a tension that was growing between two of the great superpowers of the day, the city of Athens, Greece, and the Phoenician kingdom. Between these two city-states, these two great nations, warfare was brewing to the point that it had finally erupted over, and there were two great combats that took place. One, a land battle between the Athenians and the Phoenicians, and the second was a naval battle. The Athenians came out on top in two of these battles. They gained the victory over the Phoenicians. And it was a great turning point in the Mediterranean at the time. Before those battles took place, the Phoenicians were a great kingdom, known for their great trade routes around the Mediterranean. Everyone knew who the Phoenicians were. Everyone feared them and their awesome power. But now the Athenians had come out on top. And to show their victory, they grabbed the palm branches that existed in the Phoenician state, knowing that this was the symbol of Phoenicia's great power. That if anybody saw a palm branch on a shipment coming in, they knew it was from Phoenicia. And so they took the palm branches, the Athenians did, and they brought it back to Athens, to their home state, and they brought it into their very temple, the Parthenon that existed there, and laid it before their goddess Athena as a sign of their victory over the Phoenicians. It also, beyond just a sign of victory, was a reminder to them of the great cost that came for that victory. How many great men perished in that war? How many of their young men gave their lives defending their homeland? The palm branch began to symbolize for the first time victory and the cost of victory. When the Romans conquered the Greeks, they decided they were going to adopt this great tradition. It became very normal practice for judges and lawyers of the Roman courts, after winning a battle in the civil courts, their family members and friends and neighbors would adorn their doorposts of their homes with palm branches, signifying the hard work they put into the victory and the victory itself. When Julius Caesar, the first great emperor of the Roman Empire, came to power, we often remember him with the crown of olives that he placed upon his head, the sign of peace, after he had conquered so many lands with his armies and came back to Rome triumphant. But in his hand, he bore as if a scepter of power, symbolizing his authority over the Roman state, a palm branch. It's no wonder then, it's really no accident, that when we had the gospel message that was proclaimed to us over in the Family Life Center, and we see the Jews welcoming Christ into Jerusalem, laying their palm branches down, they were sending a message to the Romans. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly what those branches represented to the Roman emperor. That they looked on Christ as their Savior. That they looked on Him as they would have looked on Moses freeing them from the grip of the Egyptians. And that by laying the palm branches down, they were saying, here He is, our Savior and Redeemer from the Roman oppressors. And it was a joyous day. Is it any wonder to us then that Pilate was very nervous when a few days later things took a turn for the worse, that Jesus was arrested, brought before Pilate, condemned by his own people, that he was sentenced to death, executed as a common criminal? Shortly after that, the early church began to grow and prosper. And even they began to realize what the palm represented to them. Any of their members who gave their life for their faith, laid down their life for what they believed in, were martyred, shed their blood. From then on, They were depicted with a palm branch in their hand, showing their victory over death and destruction. When the Emperor Constantine finally came to power in the 300s, the first Roman emperor to become a Christian, to show his conversion of heart, his true belief in the power that God had, he decided to print coins across his entire empire that depicted Christ seated on a throne with a palm branch in his hand. The ancient sign of Roman authority and power was now a Christian symbol. When the Crusades took place in the Middle Ages, and men left their homes in Europe to travel to the Holy Land to defend it, they went with dreams in their minds of going to that holy place where Christ walked on this earth, and to take back with them to their homeland a palm branch, not necessarily signifying their victories in battle, but the victory of their pilgrimage, going to that sacred place, having their sins forgiven, triumphing over sin and death itself. I remember as a boy coming to Palm Sunday Mass, and I remember getting these palms, and Dad always had that knack for being able to weave it into the shape of a cross or into one of those long strands of braid. And we would take them home, and we would put them behind our religious pictures on the walls of our house, and they would stay there the remainder of the year. I don't remember much else about Palm Sunday. I don't remember any of the homilies or the songs that we sang. In fact, I don't even remember what I preached on last year, to be perfectly honest. But I do remember this. I remember taking the palms home, a sign and a symbol of victory, a sign that we put up on our wall, and even as it withered, even as it grew yellow over the course of the year and dried up, the message was clear. Now, I mentioned when the Athenians brought the palm branches back and they put it up in the Parthenon, victory was a part of it. But it was also a way that they knew that they could never forget the great sacrifices that were made. While that palm branch stood in their temple, they knew that they had to always remember and honor those who had given their life defending the homeland. And so do we do today. As we carry these palm branches with us, as we put them up in our houses and our homes for us to see and to be reminded, we do so knowing that we are honoring the one who made the ultimate sacrifice, that victory comes with a cost, and that it behooves us to never forget that cost. Never forget the man who laid down his life out of love for us so that we may have life and have it in abundance. That in this great fight against evil, we lost a good man, the best of men. We call him our brother, our captain, our king. And so let us remember, let us never forget, and let us honor the memory of Christ Jesus, through whom now and forevermore, we are victorious. Amen.